Welcome back to the Cooking Barker Podcast with our host, Adam and Tiny. They'll be talking about bars, restaurants, hospitality industry, what you didn't know, what you might want to know, and now on with today's subject.
Well, welcome back to the Cooking Barker Project?
No, it's podcast.
It is also a project, though.
It is a project.
Welcome back, everybody.
It's lifestyle projects.
We are a project, actually.
Today, we're more than a project.
I think the project is a nice term.
Anyway. It was sunny out. I had to go and do some stuff, you know?
Yeah, it was like, hey, we broke 80 degrees, too.
I know, right?
Yeah. And it inspired me to drink more.
I had to turn on my AC in my dining room.
Oh, man. Hot. Really?
That was crazy.
And well, just think it was 26 degrees like 8 days ago.
Right. That it was freezing out.
So let's do a cheers to summer coming around.
Yes.
And allegedly maybe being overserved yesterday.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Hey, HR wasn't here.
Yep, lawyers aren't present, so I'm not going to.
I went with a full pack of bunnies. It wasn't just one bunny.
Turbo bunnies. It's like a zoo. Cool. To full bunny last night. We took advantage of? The fact that we're about to get our ass kicked for 5 straight months.
That's what it felt like. I'm like going, all right. It was my first real busy weekend this weekend. I was like, all right, you know what? I was like, I'm just going to go. See you later. Bye.
That's kind of where I was. I was like, I might not get a day off for 5 months. Like, I'm just going hard. But
then, so I put the quarters in me. Ching, ching, ching.
That's why I'm drinking red wine today.
Oh, I'm drinking Jim Beam like a normal.
That's
Jim
good.
Beam.
You're a man of your word.
Yeah. I know. I'm drinking. I figured it out yesterday. I've been drinking Jim Beams for 28 years.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Isn't that stupid?
Well, I can relate. I've been drinking vodka for 25 years, though. But I had too much yesterday, and then I switched to whiskey, and today it's wine.
Ooh, that's nasty.
Yeah, that's a weird transition. But you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I'm not 21 anymore.
Brain thinks you are.
And no, that's the problem. My body says, fuck you. So anyways, welcome back, community. We love you. What the hell are we doing here today?
I think we're just going to freestyle this one. We've done it before. We can do it again.
It's kind of what we do at work every day.
We do.
I mean, freestyling is literally the name of the game in the hospitality business.
You really don't. I mean, you don't come to work with an idea what you got to do, but it's like, okay, I'm going to start on this, and all of a sudden people start coming in. You're like, oh, crap, I can't do that. What am I going to do? And then you start, well, I got to get this done. How am I going to get this done? And there's more people come in, and then all of a sudden you have one person come in and goes like, can I have a brandy old fashioned sweet with olives?
Yeah. Might want two grapes in there.
Yeah. So they're like, what?
You got to go, like, pick grapes somewhere and come back and still do your thing. It's weird.
Yep.
Or someone's like, I want a 5-ingredient sandwich, and you're like, shit. I only have four.
Yep.
What can I do to make it taste good? Or whatever. I mean, I feel like the days that we go into work, like, the most planned, where you're like, today's going to do this and this and this and this and this, and do this prep work and do this ordering and do this apparel ordered. And those are the days where you get those random people that show up that have the weird requests.
And they show up right when you open up.
Right when you open up, yeah.
You're like, I got 10 more minutes. I'm pretty sure nobody's going to show up. I'm going to get, hey, how you doing?
Right. Or right before you close. Yep. I'm like, in 10 minutes, I'm going to go home. And then, or I shut the lights off, get caught up on prep. But no, that's when that like party of 80 shows up.
Right.
11:59, and then close at midnight.
Sunday, I was working. Was it Sunday? No, Monday I was working. And one of my friends showed up at 7:55, walked in. And a couple other people walked in. I had no lights on. Nothing was on. People just walking in. I'm like, the on lights aren't even on. There's no lights on anywhere, but people are just walking in. I'm like, all right, okay.
I guess I got to do what I got to do.
The open sign didn't turn on until about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I better turn the open sign on, I guess. I'm like, oh, man.
It's so weird. I know. It's a business where you literally are on your toes all the time because you just don't know what's going to happen.
You know.
Even like, I think it was like 2 summers ago, literally our last day of the season was like October 13th or something. We're shutting down. And at that point, we're like, cool, we get 2 months off, like, everyone's checked out. Nothing's done. We might see a customer. And all of a sudden, this group of 20 rolls up. And they're like, everything in the area is closed. We found you on the internet. And now I, like, got smashed with 20 heavy drinker, heavy eating, like, people.
Yep.
And we were literally going to close for the season in, like, 7 minutes.
Oh. And this is what happened here. Sorry, sucker.
Right? So I always preach, like, be ready for anything. Like, we have slow days. And then going from 0 to 100 in no time. Our life is basically like semi-planned.
It's semi-planned, but you never know what's going to happen.
You never know in this business. Run your own joint here. I mean, you have to do all your ordering, all your prep, all that shit.
All the fun things to do.
And the other thing about that is that, you know, you get that one table in, or you get that couple that comes in to the bar.
Yep.
in their head, like they might be the only ones there, but that's they're like, "Oh, slow day today."
Don't you hate that?
And you're like, right, but they don't realize that you just get your ass kicked for 5 fucking hours, and you have 900 things to do to get caught up.
Yep.
They want to talk to you about the birds or something, the robin that landed on their car or something. You know, it's just something right. ridiculous.
Something stupid.
But you have to fake it till you make it, and you have to, like, still adapt to that because that's our business, is hospitality.
Yep. And it
that's
is.
That's what we're here for.
You guys still have the smile on your face.
Right.
Hi.
But we still have to somehow balance the 900 things behind the scenes and still give that A-plus service.
Yep. And then they go, "Oh, I'd like to have some food. I'll have the olive burger." And you're like, "Oh, crap.
It's the one thing I didn't prep today."
That's the one thing I forgot. Or I just ran like 20 burgers, olive burgers. Like,
yeah.
I've never sold that many burgers in my life. And I was,
yeah. Italian beef sandwich, I'd get 10 in a row. We'd never sell 10 in a day. But that one group had 10 of them. And then.
And what did you say? No? Or you're like, "All right, I'll figure this out. I know."
Well, there's an art of bullshitting too, though, that I think
in
hospitality that we're good at. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But there are ways to tell people no, but make it sound not as harsh.
That's true.
Like, you could say, like, "The truck didn't show up." You know, if I forgot to order something off.
I've been known to say, "I'm sorry, but I got substitute and I didn't like the substitute, so I sent it back."
Yes. Or
well, out of stock. That might have been a lie.
Right. I might just have forgotten to order to the Coors Light this week.
Right.
But then I'm like, well, they're out of stock for a couple of weeks. You know, there's, like, nice ways to still make them feel good. Like, "Oh, I totally ordered it. They're out of stock.
They're out of stock. Sorry, buddy.
I couldn't do anything." Ridley, you actually just told me you had a brain fart and forgot to order, like, your best-selling item.
We did the whole Barnum & Bailey Circus thing.
Yeah. Even today, I had the Cisco order due today, and that's got to be in by 4. And it totally slipped my mind. It was, like, 3:40.
Oops.
And I was like, shit. Holly's like, "Don't you have orders to do?" And I was like, "Oh, fuck."
You're like, "Ugh."
And then I looked at my phone, and Missy had, like, that's our rep, Cisco rep. Shout out to Missy. She's awesome.
She is.
She sent me all these text messages. "Are you alive?" And I was like, "Damn." Well, all of a sudden, we have no burgers at work.
That would suck.
But yeah, I mean, freestyling is part of our business on the customer level and in the back, you know, in the kitchen too. Like, you just got to make it work.
You got to do what you got to do. You start running out of something, you're like, "How am I going to get this done?"
People have such weird requests that you just have to do it. And there's no planning.
There isn't. And then, especially for breakfast, I think breakfast has the most requests. It's like, make your own menu stuff.
Yeah,
you're like,
you're right.
Like, you sell a shit ton of onions. I watch you put onions on every burger you put out almost. Right. But every other ticket has no onion on mine. I'm like, I can sit on a 50-pound bag of onions for like 2 years. You know, they just don't go bad, and I just don't sell them because people are like, "Oh, I want no onion." I'm like, "Oh, what's going on here?" You know, whatever.
It is weird. I've noticed that because usually when I do go out to eat, it is breakfast.
Yep.
And I listen to, like, because I'm a bartender, my ears hear every table.
Yeah, you're always listening. You're
everyone is like, "I want this, but not this, extra this, this and that and that." And I feel like when I go out to eat lunch or dinner, it's not as picky.
Not as picky.
Maybe because they're more hungover.
No, I know, because I mean, even when I work breakfast other places, they're always really picky.
It's just those people who get up early are picky.
Must be.
That's why I don't get up early.
I don't get up until ass crack or something.
I'll roll into a breakfast joint an hour before they close, and that's usually 1 o'clock.
Right? That's the way we roll.
That's how we roll.
But honestly, it was like, I had a group in here, and I ordered the same omelet, but every omelet was different. So I had to take up, instead of having one big pile of their stuff, I had 4 little piles. This one had no onions. This one had extra. This one had no mushrooms. This one had half the spinach or whatever. You know, I'm going, okay, now I got to remember which one. I'm like, you got other orders in your head, you know.
You also have 6 more tickets to deal with, too. Like half spinach. Like, which one is that?
Which one was that again?
Once it's all blended up, you're like, which one's the half spinach?
I've actually, like, if I have two burritos and one has no onion, one has onion, I just won't make the onions. I just won't put them in there. I'm like, oh, that one has onions. And they never know. People just don't know.
Sometimes the cocktails.
I don't know.
It's funny. I like mix. Let's say I'm just making 2 Manhattans.
Yep.
And someone's like, no bitters in mine, extra bitters in mine. And then you're bringing a tray full of drinks.
Yep.
And I'm like, shit, which one's no bitters?
Which one was it?
This one's no bitters. And they're like, oh, that's perfect.
You're like, I hope I was right.
Seriously. It's so true. Freestyle in life. For the most part, I'm good. I'll use a little straw. Like, if you want a Captain and Sprite, and you want a Captain and Sprite Zero, I'll put 2 straws on the Sprite Zero. So when I get to the table in my head, I'm like, two straws is regular Sprite because there's sugar in it. And 1 straw is half the calories. You know, I use those tricks. But sometimes you're in a rush, and you're like,
oh,
is
I do?
This the extra vermouth one? You're like, yeah. And you go back, you're like, I don't know.
Sure it is.
Extra onions in that martini.
Make it or fake it. Fake it or make it.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they say. Fake oh, it. Yeah. That's why like, every day is the same, but every day is different.
I think that's why I like this industry. And I feel like people like me and you that do
thrive on it.
Yeah, or have like a career in it.
Yep.
We like that sense of like, we're not in a cubicle like, today I have to do 7 reports.
I don't know how people sit on their rump or whatever they sit on and do reports. And why is there 7 reports? What are you reporting on? I guess, you know, I'm not that kind of person, so I don't understand, you know, big business in that way.
Expensive.
Yeah. I mean, stuff. I was a manager in one of the hotels and we had like 5 meetings. And 3 of them were the exact same meeting, but just 2 different people in it.
What am I doing here?
I don't need this. So I stopped going to them. I'm done. I'm not going to them.
I could actually be doing something.
Yeah, my boss was like, you got to go. We're going to fire you. I'm like, fire me. I'm done.
It's boring.
I said, 1, you email me. 2, you give me memos. And 3, if something goes wrong, you just show me and tell me all 3. So why? There's nothing I need. Yeah.
I always love it. Again, like, we have a scheduled work meeting. I get 400 fucking emails. Inviting me to it. There's only 7 employees.
I know, right?
Like we got, I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I'm actually scheduled to work anyways, so I'm going to be there. Like, I don't need to reply yes to the invite. Do any of you really need a thumbs up right now? I don't know.
I don't think so.
But yeah, like, I think, but that energy that we, like, that freestyle mentality that we have to have at work, like, I can never picture myself going in and, like, yeah, so I have to do 6 spreadsheets and run numbers in a cubicle and there's nobody around and like, you know, and take my lunch break at 12:30.
Or be in an assembly line. I know a lot of people are in assembly lines. I have relatives that are on assembly lines and you do the same thing all day long, every day.
Yeah. I worked
I'm in like, a, wow, how do you do that? I don't know.
I worked at a machine shop and I made good money.
Yep.
And I was running high-end CNC machines, but I had 12-hour shifts. I was doing 6 days a week, but I never moved. Put the parts on and press the buttons and then measure them and then do all that. And like for 12 effing hours, it drove me nuts.
That was last night coming up. That will not be edited.
That's the box wine. Shout out to Franzia.
Yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, and some people are wired that way, you know?
Yep, some people are, not me.
I mean, I know people who could sit and crunch numbers all day. Like I would be the terrible accountant because I would never get to your taxes.
I would get to them, but I'm guaranteed there's going to be a decimal point somewhere wrong.
It's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yep. Or you're going to be thinking you're going to make a lot of money, and then all of a sudden, like, yeah. I hear it's like,
right.
You owe us $10,000, please.
Don't go to Tiny's accounting services, folks.
I hire my accounting service. I don't do it.
That's good. But I could never do that.
Nope. Not at all.
Because it's not freestyle enough.
You're always doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
You know, every day is the same. But every day is different.
I've thought about it too. Like, I'm not getting younger. My bones are getting achier. I'm not, you know, I'm still kind of in my prime, but I'm starting to feel the bartending knees. And like, what do I want to do this when I'm 50? Do I really want to run this hard?
No.
And I don't, but at the same time, like, what else could I do? Everything else sounds boring.
Stripper.
Oh, man. I need boobs.
I guess that's out.
Scratch that one. But like, what else am I going to do that's not so, like, on the fly? And freestyle. That's how my life is, freestyle.
Yep.
And that's how I live, not only at work, but on just a daily basis. Like, I don't really make plans. I just roll with the moment. And that's why I love this business.
I know on my days off, I have like 3 things I get done. I got 48 hours to do them in.
Yep.
See what happens.
But you have no, you don't write it down.
I'm oh, no. Said, nope. You know, it's in my head.
I mean, I've been offered 36 hours and I'm like, I'm going to pay bills. That'll probably be at 2 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, you know, never tonight. Know.
I'll be like, oh, now it's bill time. Because like, it's like the adrenaline of the freestyle.
Yep.
Is what makes it fun.
I wouldn't know what to do. I worked at a restaurant, hotel. Didn't they tell you we're closed, people? Did you hear that? I should turn my cell phone off.
It's way past breakfast hours.
It's way past breakfast hours.
that's not going to fly.
We're going to edit this whole telephone ringing thing out.
We actually might edit this whole show out because we have no fucking clue what we're doing.
I think it's great, though.
This could just be practice run.
This is just what it is.
Yeah.
No, this whole ringing ding thing is going to get edited out.
All right, let's hold off for a second here until that's done. That's the best part. We are closed Tuesday, Wednesday.
I think I was mad because somebody called. I know you're closed, but are you going to be open today?
They actually said, "I'm going to be. You're going to be. I know you're closed,
but are you going to be open? Yeah.
I know your grill shuts off at 9, but can we order at 10?
Right?
You're like, no. My fucking second bartender's going home at 9 because we shut the grill off. But yeah, the silly questions. I think we're just on a weird train today.
We're on the left-hand track going right.
Maybe. I don't know. This is an interesting episode. Or it's the red wine. I don't
know. Well, one, we had an agenda, and we were following our agenda. But two, we've totally gotten off track.
This is going to be a heavily edited one, you're saying?
No. Just the
freestyle
episode. The freestyle. I mean, freestyle editing. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know. So cool, yeah. Well, anyways, freestyling. We talked about that topic. Yep. Awesome. What the hell else are we going to talk about today?
Well, I mean, freestyle, and you always make your business your own.
Oh, yeah. That brings me to a good point. And it's something that I read in a book about 5 years ago about serving and bartending hospitality, and it stuck with me, really resonated with me when I started seeing, like, the results of it. But I go to work. I walk into the bar. I'm usually the night bartender. Owners are gone.
Yep.
And I have to tell myself every day, I say, that, you know, like, pretend this is my bar. And I look at all of the 300 bottles of booze. I look at the lights are on. I look at the POS system. I look at the fireplace going if it's wintertime. All the shit that's got to be paid for.
Stuff that needs to be done.
But I get left in the bar to run it like it's mine, but I didn't buy any of that shit. But on the flip side, if I look at it with that mentality, like, this is my bar, and I'm making drinks. I didn't buy that Captain Morgan, but I'm making 1,000 of them, and I'm giving them the service. I have that ownership mentality. I noticed that my tips skyrocket.
And people come to see you more often, too.
You're right. And I hear it all the time. They're like, man, do you own this place? No. And I always joke, like, maybe one day, if you tip me good enough, I might buy it tomorrow. You know?
Right?
You know, do some dumb shit, improv, freestyle, joke.
Maybe your owner will be right, and I'll be like, oh, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. But long short, if you go to work with that mentality where, like, this is my place, you're working for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But if they give you that control as a bartender, server, or cook, you're in that kitchen and you treat it like it's yours, you give it that energy of that an owner would give. I mean, your tips, or you're just your sales, if you're non-tipped, a lot of cooks aren't tipped, whatever.
Yep.
It's magnificent. And I've been listening to a lot of younger people in the industry recently that are, I don't think they've wrapped their head around that concept.
It takes a while to wrap it around. I mean, I didn't have that until 24, 25, I guess, whatever it was.
Right on.
And I'm like, going, wait a minute. If I work like this is mine, people come back. People come actually back and ask if I'm working, cooking, because they like my food.
Right. You're phenomenal.
So I'm like, I make the same stuff that you make, but why does mine taste better? I have no idea. Maybe because I have that, it's my business, I want them back.
That ownership mentality. Yeah. They see it in your face almost, I think. And they see it in your energy that you give. If I walk into a place and I see a bartender or I see a cook or whatever it is, if I even see an Uber driver, you know, like, their energy is like, yeah.
Exciting, have fun.
Whatever I buy from them is going to taste better.
Right.
Or be more exciting for me.
Hey, maybe that's why I got excited yesterday. Because everybody's personality was so great that I had to buy more and drink just a little bit more.
Allegedly. Plead the fifth on that one, Tiny.
But true.
But it is very true. And I noticed when I was younger in the game, no one taught me that. And then I read this book, and like that was the one part of that book that stood out to me. It changed my attitude, but it also changed my finances.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden my $100 tip take was a $200 day because I gave that energy to them, to the guest. They give it the money back to me.
Yep.
I feel like that's just the way of a lot of you people who are new to the business, because it took me 5 years to figure that out.
It takes a little bit, you know. But if you, your life is much easier and happier, too, if you think it's yours.
Yes.
Instead of like, ah, I got to go and work for the man.
100% agree with you there.
You know, when I was like, I have to go and work for this dumb person, you know.
Right. I don't like this person.
But then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make it mine. And, you know, show them that.
Even though you don't own it, you own what you
do. Yeah, I own what I do.
And that pays off in the long run. Your quality of food's better. Your self-esteem's better because you're hearing the compliments. People are coming to see you. It makes your, 10-hour get your ass kicked shift, go home, you pat yourself on the back, and like, it's all a big circle.
It is. And then when I manage restaurants, it's easier for me to go, this is my restaurant, what would I do to make this restaurant better? What am I do to make people
come? Yes.
I want money. And really, I mean, if you make money, and if you work for a good enough owner, they'll give you a bonus, or they'll give you something. They'll appreciate your business or what you do.
100%. I feel like if you give it, if you give your heart and soul to, when you're in the service industry, you give your heart and soul to it, unless your owner's a complete D-bag, they're going to notice it because they're seeing it in their wallets too, or it's too corporate, yeah. But I think any small business, you go in with that owner attitude, not only do I go home with more money, but I also know that I'm contributing to my employers, who I have nothing but respect for, and it makes me proud to say I made my establishment this much money.
Yep.
And then also, it was slow today, but why didn't I put $300 in the shoebox?
Right.
You know, 7-8 years ago, before I had that like mentality, that might have been $100 in my shoebox, or $50.
Because you just didn't care. You're like, here's your drink or whatever
it is. Yeah, right. Here's my mediocre table service. Yep. Now it's like finding that like personal connection, and I feel it back. You know, it's reciprocated. They feel it. I feel it. We all feel good. And when everybody's feeling good, money flies.
Right. It does.
It's kind of like you were at the bar. Everyone was in a good mood. Who was throwing money around? You. Money was flying. You may regret it the next day, but it's you're going out for the experience.
It felt like one of those days to me. It was like, it was our last day. We're going to get our ass kicked from here on out. And I'm like, today is the day to party. Because I don't have to wake up tomorrow and do anything.
You got to let it loose when you can.
Got to go.
Full buddy.
I went full family bunny.
What, were you plaid?
I was plaid.
Plaid family?
Yeah, I was. Oh. That's a rough one. Remember that one? Was it? Whatever one was. I said 120 steps there, 300 back.
Yesterday it was 900 back.
Well, pretty much.
I looked at my phone and I saw that I called you at midnight and I was like, we must have both been drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were both going full bunny. But it was fun. But it was fun.
And oh, yeah, because I was at the bar and I walked back from the bar. And I was outside for a while talking with you. And I went inside to talk with you. I mean, we talked for like 45 minutes. Right. What do we talk about? Well, that's a secret. Wait a minute. We don't know either.
That's why we don't know what we're talking about today.
That's right. But we owned it. Damn it. We owned it.
The moment.
We owned the moment.
If you own the moment, you're going to own the money. And your owners are going to love you.
Right.
It's all about owning it. You walk into work like, this is my shit. You got that swagger. Guests will always feel that. But yeah, anyways, that's a cool concept. Anyone new to the business, wrap your head around that attitude.
Yeah, think about it for a little bit.
There's a fine line also between coming in like, yeah, I own this bitch, and being arrogant, or just being like, I own it, and that's I'm going to give that to my guests.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, when my guests say, and I love it, I hear it all the time, I can't believe you don't own this place, because why do you give so much? Well, because it makes me feel good.
Yep.
It makes you feel good. But then we've also had employees that come in, we hire them, whatever, they've worked in the industry forever, and they come in like, I own it in the sense of I know it all.
Oh.
You never left.
Nope.
So don't come in like you know it all, but just come in like it's your business. How would you do it if you have a good heart, you're a good person, you have a good mind? What would you give?
I had a fire guy once, but the first 3 days he came in, he was like, you can't do it like this, you gotta do it like this, and you gotta do that. But I mean, this is not your place. You've right. been here for 6 hours. Are you trying to tell me what to do with my menu? Which is the owner's menu, not mine, really?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
No. We had a guy we hired.
And he went listen to me, so I was like, yeah.
At our resort, and he had worked at another area resort, not right in Hayward, but in northern Wisconsin. And that's his family. And he came in, and literally, like, 2 hours into a shift, he was telling us what to do. I don't care if you worked in a resort. This resort is different.
Yep.
We do things our way. It'd be like me walking into your place and saying, I used to cook breakfast at IHOP.
Right.
Let's do the IHOP menu or something. You know, no disrespect to IHOP, but like, you're like, no, this is Tiny's Diner.
It's Tiny's Diner.
We don't.
This is why I do it. This is where it's going to be done.
You're right.
Unless somebody has a better idea, I'll listen to it.
So the ownership mentality versus the arrogance is two different windows, but I feel like in guest service, the customer responds to that attitude.
Right.
And it will pay you. I'll tell you, all you young people out there that are just getting to bartending and serving, if you just build that mentality, and it takes me a few days or a few years, and I still have to remind myself daily, even though I've been in the business for a while, I have to walk in some days and be like, that's my bar. The immediate return in my wallet is crazy, phenomenal.
Yep. And it's like I said, if you forget about your tips and just give good service, those tips will follow you.
They will, by threefold at least.
Yeah, and then there's always going to be the people that don't tip.
The good outweigh the bad.
Yeah.
And if you let that bad group, and like I'm on these communities on social media now with servers and bartenders and all this, and I feel like 90% of them are just like mad at the world because they had one shitty table.
Right.
I'm like, well, fuck, that table can just wait. Give the best service you can to the other 90 tables you had or 90 guests. They're going to outweigh that. They're going to need the 30% tips.
All right.
Who cares about Johnny 2%?
That's right.
You know?
Just give them the service and then make sure the other people are even happier. And don't let that one guy or girl or whatever it is bring you down.
Yep.
Because as soon as that brings you down, then there goes your tips. Down with it.
Because they see it in your face.
Yep.
you lose that ownership mentality, that look, that expression, that feel. You lose that energy. They read off that. And yeah, now you went from Timmy 2% was yep. one table, but your energy translated. Now all your tips are 15.
Right.
When they could have been Timmy 2% and then a bunch of 20s.
I really never look when I waited and I'm still doing some weight stuff here at my place. I never look at the tips. No. I just take them, put the money in my pocket, or put it in my little jar. And then I had to take out the credit card receipts, and I'm going, oh, I remember that guy. He was that, yeah, Timmy 2%.
Right.
Oh, it makes total sense why he treated me like he did, you know?
Sorry, anyone named Timmy. We don't mean to offend you. But yeah, Timmy 2%. I do that too. Like, I when I'm by myself, I pay 50% credit card transactions. Mm-hmm. I like to stack them up and just wait till the end of the night until I enter them. Because I don't want to get upset high or low.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm having the greatest day. Look at all this money. Or I had 6 Timmy 2%s today. I just don't let it affect how I'm talking to the next person. Bobby Bud Light might give me $5, one Bud Light.
Right.
Because I wasn't mad about Timmy 2% 2 hours ago.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you're great. Here you go.
Yeah. I like our nicknames for everyone. I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. This is going to be a heavily edited episode.
Maybe.
We don't know. Allegedly.
I'll have to pay the editor a little extra money.
Oh, yeah. That guy. He charges a lot.
He does.
Well, he's good at what he does, though. I heard it. He's getting a reputation in the neighborhood.
Well, that's what the other thing.
It's tiny 2%. He was hanging out with Bud Light Bobby last night.
That's right. Learn the ways.
One too many.
We must be getting done because we're going in circles again.
Well, anyways, thanks for listening. If this episode even gets on the air.
Oh, yeah, well, because I think this is too funny not to.
Thank you for listening.
But there will be some editing involved.
And we do, every once in a while, we just got to have a fun one. And this was us today.
Yep.
Not feeling it.
I mean, it's really really serious subject, but we did it in a really funny way.
And it's true. And I love the educational part of it because some of what we talked about, I wish I was told when I was 25.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it wasn't until I was 5 years into business, yep. You know, like, so I wish I would have been told that. And that's kind of like what our show is. We want to make you laugh, but we want to educate you.
Yep. We want to have fun, but educate at the same time.
And some episodes are more freestyle than others.
And this one is totally freestyle.
This one is called the Box Wine episode.
Yes. I might just name that Box Wine episode.
I think we should. Something along those lines.
All right.
Or we'll just call it the Overserved the Night Before episode.
All right. On that note.
Wait. Before what? I go.
Oh, hang on.
I got to give a shout out to Mr. Chris S. I'm not going to say your last name. I promised you a shout out. And Lauren, a.k.a. L Boogie. Love you. You guys are big supporters of us. And we appreciate your listening and spreading the word.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you. And we're out. Box Wine is gone. Recorded at the world headquarters of the Cook and Bartender with Adam and Tiny.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Like, comment, follow, spread the word. We appreciate it. cookandbartender@gmail.com, cookandbartender on Facebook, or cookbartender@Instagram. Thank you.